James wrote this one. Not this James. Different James.
Yeah, the James. So we're going to be speaking about the tongue this morning. That was the riddle. And it's illustrated quite well in James 3. So we're going to be talking about the tongue this morning and taming the tongue.
Yeah. So to start with, I just thought I'd ask some questions to see how tame our tongues are. Jamie, have you ever gossiped about someone?
Nope.
Have you ever broken a promise?
Never. Of course not. Nah, my tongue's very tame. Very tame.
Have you ever said something in anger that you wish you could take back?
Nah, never. Nah.
Have you ever said that you're going to do something and then not followed through with it?
Not me. No, not once.
Have you ever lied?
Ooh. Talking about taming the tongue, though, can you do this?
Ooh, can anybody do a tongue roll?
Who can
Any
do a tongue roll?
Rollers in the audience?
Got masks on. Who can do a tongue roll? Let's see. Everyone whip down the mask if you feel comfortable doing that. All right, Wes has got a pretty good tongue roll. Not bad.
Yeah,
not
Belinda.
Yet. Jeffrey. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, not too bad.
Okay, can anybody roll their R's like a... Jamie, how about that one?
Yeah, I can't do it. I've watched YouTube videos on how apparently anyone can do it. Apparently it's not genetic. Anyone can do it. I've struggled within this whole area of being able to roll my R's. I feel like there's a lot of languages I can't learn for that reason, so I can't do it. What else is there?
Can anybody touch their nose with their tongue?
Ooh.
Anyone? Anyone want to give it a try?
Let's all try. Can anyone do it? All right, everyone try it.
Sharon.
Everyone try. Let's see. Tongue to the nose. Who can do it?
Girl, Julian's
just take a quick
pretty
photo.
Close.
Great. That's going on the website. Thank you. Nice.
So if you can touch your tongue with your nose, it's a little bit looser than other people's tongues. This preacher's especially for you. Just listen out for it.
For sure. All right. Well, look, should we, what do you reckon? Should we open up the Bible?
Oh, yeah, I thought this was more like a practical...
No, I think he's got something to say. So why don't we have a look at what James has got to say before we butcher this any further. So we're going to be looking at James 3 this morning. And so I'm going to share a little bit from the passage. Then Carmen's going to share a little bit from the passage, the more practical side of it, which will be really good. It's going to be fun. So if you want to open up your Bibles, you can do that. And we'll see what James has got to say. And just... prior to reading this, we're in the prayer meeting just beforehand. We turned up late, but I'll tell you what, there were words that were just, you know, very spot on to what were in our notes and what God wanted to do. So the first thing was there was a picture of a patterned shirt, and God was saying that he wanted to create a new pattern in the way that we think and speak this morning. That's one thing he wanted to do. The other word that came really, you know, quite strongly was that there was a foundation, a steel girder that wanted to be laid this morning in order to like rebuild this house. And it was like, oh, we didn't really know, like there wasn't as much significance on the steel. Like, what does that actually do? Does this house need a new foundation? But actually, yeah, it did in order to build something new. So God wants to do that this morning with us. He wants to build something new. This is like a foundation that he wants to put in us. And this whole topic of the tongue, you can easily just miss it or just think, how is this not a massive thing that God would really want to say to us? Actually, when you open up the Bible, we did it and we looked through all the references for the tongue in the Bible, and it's just littered from start to finish. And it would appear as human beings, the tongue has great potential for both good and for bad. And actually, even as Jeff prayed, the whole world maybe at the moment is, what's going to happen next? Where are we going to be next year? You know, what is actually happening? But the one thing we do have control of is actually our tongue. And we have the ability to change that and work with that. And so James wanted to speak strongly to the people of God about the tongue. So why don't we just read? I'll read the first chunk. It says this: "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." I missed that. Why'd you get me to... You skipped out on this passage, Mike. "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can actually turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And likewise, the tongue is a very small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider when a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. And this is the riddle. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. So friends, this is strong teaching on the tongue. This is illustrating, quite frankly, the power of the tongue that we possess. We all possess a tongue and have the ability to use this and speak. How are we going to use it? How do you use your words today? Are you happy with the way that you use your words, your mouth? What does that do? What sort of an instrument is that? And I think before we really start to say, hey, right, we need to start changing the way we talk, right? We need to be better at loving people, and we can do that by speaking nicer words and forgiving and, you know, whatever it is. I think before, like, James jumps into, like, instruction on how to tame the tongue, for me, there was this very crucial one line. You'd probably miss it if you read through it quickly, and it's this. It's verse 2. It says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. And for me, this is like a foundation for us. This is a massive foundation. If you are a Christian, if you know the grace that has been shown to you, we actually have the privilege to know that we all stumble in many ways. And there's a common grace that as the people of God, we must have for each other and for ourselves. Hey, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. And the unfortunate story of the human race that we're part of is it is fractured and marred by our own wrongdoing, by our own envy, slander, talking behind someone's back, whatever it might be, malice, greed, war, bloodshed, backstabbing, you know, lying, pride, envy, you know, any sort of self-gain. It's just like the human race, us, we're just littered with this. And you know what? A large part of that is the tongue. It's things that people have said, where it's like, could have shaped history or could have caused grief in a family or could have caused you maybe a lot of harm. A lot of it is the potency of the tongue. And the God of the Bible, he draws a line like James has done here, and he says, actually, every single person has fallen short of this standard. Everyone. Every single person has not made that mark. We all carry the guilt with us. We all carry, and we're all responsible. All of humanity, we're just on this playing field below God's bar. We've all stumbled. We've all fallen in many ways. And the ultimate story of the gospel, it's good news that God deals with humanity's filth through the death of his own son, Jesus Christ. And that in him, our sins are taken away. In him, we have forgiveness of sins. And he's our freedom today. He's what we can celebrate. He's the one that's actually made us perfect. It's not by our own abilities or skills. It says that in Ephesians, so that no man or woman can boast. We have no position to boast this morning other than Christ, what he's done for us. And there's an amazing story in the Bible. It's about there was a woman in a town, and everyone knew her as like an outcast, as a sinner. She was dirty. The things that she did were so putrid. And Jesus was in town, and this woman caught a sense of the forgiveness that was in Christ. And she went to a house in which Jesus was at, and she burst through the door and just began to cry, and she was overwhelmed with the forgiveness that was in Christ. And she began to weep and weep, and she fell at Jesus' feet, and with her own tears began to wash the feet of Jesus. And she poured this expensive jar of perfume on Jesus' feet and began to wash him. And it was the sense in which she realized she had been forgiven of this huge debt. Jesus was the only one that could provide this forgiveness of sins. And likewise, we've all been forgiven and insurmountable debt. Like this woman, she understood. It was tangible for her. She realized she was an outcast. She realized her sin was great. But Christ had just wiped the slate clean. And I think for us, with this whole topic of the tongue, we need to be refreshed with what God has done for us, of like where we were without him, of like the magnitude of debt actually that God has cancelled on our behalf. It's a humbling thing. So first point is this: be humble, we all stumble. Show the same grace and kindness that has been afforded to you to others. Why don't we reflect on the cross this morning, as we've done that already in communion, as Lynn brought to us, as we even consider others in the way that maybe other people communicate to us. Let's first go to the cross and let's be good at considering what Christ has done for us, how he has forgiven us of such great debt. And maybe that internally will change the way in which we communicate. Surely it will. If we truly understand what Christ has done for us, surely that will change the way in which we communicate. It has to. It's transformative by nature. And the attention, therefore, won't be on the fault and failures of others, but we should treat those around us with the same grace and kindness that's been shown to us. This is really what would separate us, actually, from other people. It would be this desire to want to treat people with the same grace that's been shown to us. It says this in Proverbs 17:9, just one of the many verses that speaks about the tongue. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. So if you're a person that you look to cover the offense of someone else, and I like to expose it, you like to cover it, that you seek love. But whoever repeats a matter separates friends. I think it's not about being naive. It's not about any sort of naivety. But I think it's a posture of grace that we should possess, which should spill out in the way that we communicate. So part two, with this in mind, let's read on. Although I already have read that, so. So James then starts to talk about what the tongue is like, and he illustrates it in like six or seven ways. I think if you ever have spoken before, you look for illustrations. He's done it for me. So I was thinking, oh, what sort of illustrations can I give for the tongue? He's like, well, he's given a boat, he's given a horse, he's given a fire. Take any one you want. And the point is that the tongue, being very small, is so powerful and can cause, you know, great good or great evil or great bad. Take a boat, for example, very small rudder, slightly changed in degrees, and it can set a whole new course of where that ship's going. I remember being on a farm, I guess it's a paddock, it was around the back of Kimbricky Tip, and I just built a stable for Angie Nelson, who's Lauren's mum, and she... We've all seen, well, you might not have all seen Tiger King. I've seen Tiger King. She was like, you know, the horse queen. And this massive stallion was delivered to the paddock. And it'd been separated from its family. And this thing was wild, like wild. I hate anything that's bigger than me. Any sort of animal. And so I just kept my distance. But Angie's not the biggest person in the world. But as soon as she walked into this field, this horse caught her gaze. And within a matter of days, she had this horse totally tamed. And she could do this thing like where the horse would lie down. She'd lift up her hand like that, and the horse would just stand to its feet. And then she could just spin like this, and the horse would follow her. And as she moved her arm, the quicker she went, the quicker the horse would go. She had complete control of this horse. It was the most amazing thing. And I think the analogy here, Carmen's going to speak a little bit more about that, is the tongue is very, very powerful, hard to tame, but it is very, very powerful. It's very, very powerful. Just think about at the altar and you say the words, I do. Think about the power of that. Think about a leader maybe taking his country to war and he declares, you know, we will go to war. Think about a judge that says the words guilty or innocent. Think about a father shouting to his child, useless son, useless daughter. Think about the mouth of a Billy Graham that could declare the gospel to thousands and thousands and thousands. Think about the mouth that says, I hate you. Think about the tongue that conspires and plots in the background, that digs up dirt and is hungry for more information. Think about the teacher's mouth that says, you can do this. Let's just sit for a moment and just think about the weight of our words. Let's just sit and think, how well do I use this weapon? How well do I use this weapon that I have, this tool, this instrument? What do I use it for? Maybe there's been words that have been spoken over you that, like that rudder, has like set the course of your life. Maybe in a negative sense. Maybe someone has said things over you that has negatively affected you. It could well even be in a positive sense. Maybe there's things that you said that you wish that you could take back. I just wish I could pull that back. Maybe you're prone to digging around, talking behind people's back. Maybe you love to expose their dirt. Maybe you don't love to cover someone's sin, but you love just to expose it. Maybe your anger gets out of control. Maybe it's your lack of standing up and saying something. Maybe you say, oh, I don't actually gossip, but people just tell me stuff. Colossians 4 says this, let your speech always be gracious. Let your speech always be gracious. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, because of the love that you have for each other, all people will know that you're my disciples. Because of the love that you have for each other. So there has to be something that distinguishes us. And if there's not, there's a problem. There's just a problem. If there's something that doesn't distinguish us in the way that we communicate, the way that we cover each other or back each other or love each other, there has to be a problem. All right, we're going to cut it there. Now, time for some A-grade acting. Ah, yeah, mate, how you going? You all right?
Dinger.
Hey, Roger, what's cracking?
Oh, good to see you, mate.
Yeah,
oh,
you too.
Is that a new board?
Yeah. It's the old JobKeeper number. Not bad,
oh,
eh? Not bad.
Mate, how good.
Don't tell the missus, though.
Oh, no, never,
yeah,
mate.
Keep it quiet. Keep it on the DL. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah?
Yeah.
Where's your board?
Oh, I just thought we could go through some of this together.
What is
before,
it?
Before
what,
I surf?
Your laundry basket?
Oh, it's actually brought some laundry to go through with you.
Yours?
Oh, no, nah, mate. It's not mine.
Whose is it?
It's Davo's.
Oh, Davo.
Oh,
you're,
yeah,
kidding
mate.
Me.
And
what you got in there?
It is filthy.
Really? Looks pretty grim. What's? Oh, no.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, take a look at that.
You're kidding me.
You know that trip they have booked down the south coast
with
the family?
Yeah, end of the year and that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He and the wife have booked separate rooms.
You're kidding
me.
Yeah.
Nah, mate.
Yeah, there's something going on
there.
Because
Sheila was out with my Zoe and they said over drinks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, mate, take a look at this.
Yeah, thinks that. Jeez Louise. What's that?
Well, on the weekend, wasn't it young Timbo's soccer game?
Timbo?
Nah, he was out at drinks with the boys.
You're kidding me.
Something's
that
up,
all
mate.
All comes together. I tell you what, while we're here,
yeah,
all wrong pocket, I've got a little bit of trash as well.
Oh, really?
How's that? I was chatting to Gozo, who was chatting to Mum Maria, who was chatting to Dingo.
Yeah.
And she said she saw Sheila out with the girls.
Nah, mate.
Blasted. She was absolutely blasted. Yeah.
Mate.
And what's worse, take a look. They all went home.
Whoa.
They all went home.
Yeah.
She stayed out.
Nah, mate.
Yeah. Right state. Anyway, I'm going to go check out my new board. So you sort all that lot out, as you normally do.
Oh, and, yeah. I think I can see Dunga up the beach. I might just see if he wants to have a look at some of this.
Yeah, yeah. Show him. I'm going to get out there anyway. I'll see
all
you
right,
later.
See you later, mate. We'll be on Netflix before you know it. So, Jamie's just said that it is through our love for others that people will know that we're Jesus' disciples. And I just thought I would share a little bit from my own life about what I've been going through over the past probably year or so in relation to this. Like Jamie said, the tongue is very powerful, and there are lots of different ways that we could misuse our words or misuse our tongue. Maybe you speak out in anger, maybe you're not very good at keeping to your word, but the thing for me that has always been the biggest temptation has actually been to gossip, to air other people's dirty laundry, to pick through things that people have to show me. And I found in particular, I was actually really doing this at work with my colleagues. It was a little bit of a workplace culture, and I kept finding myself in conversations where we would be talking about one of our other colleagues. And if we continue on in James, it actually says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." And I think we would all agree that generally when somebody is gossiping or somebody speaking badly about something, it has a lot less to do with the circumstance or with the other person and a lot more to do with what's happening in them. And so I really felt convicted about this at the end of last year. I felt like, you know, I'm professing to be the salt and the light of the world, but at the same time, you know, out of the same mouth are coming praises and curses. And the effect that I was having was negative for my colleagues because I was damaging personal relationships and professional reputations. But also it was really negatively affecting me, because what it meant was that I had lost sight of that grace that God had given me. I was happy to look for flaws. I was happy to complain. I was happy to have a negative mindset and to dredge things up and to air things out. And so at the end of last year, I felt really convicted about this. And so at the start of 2020, my New Year's resolution was to get a handle on this, to take control of it so that I could not be so duplicitous in the way that I was living. And so I went through looking for different Bible verses about taming your tongue, and I came across one in Ephesians 4:29. And what it says is, "Let no unwholesome talk proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for building people up according to their needs, that all who hear it may benefit." And that was a real challenge for me. I thought, that's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. I want to only speak things that build other people up. So at the start of the year, I plan out my classroom and I decide what I'm going to do on the first day. And I put this post-it on there of my Ephesians 4:29. And I decided that's what I was going to do. But it's one thing to write it on a post-it note and stick it on your laptop screen. And it's another thing entirely to actually try and live this out. So continuing on with James, he says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." And I don't know about you, but we have watched a lot more Netflix this year, particularly throughout the middle section there when we were indoors. And we watched Tiger King. I have a whole new perspective on how close I would get to a tiger and whether or not I would have one as a pet. And more recently, watched something called My Octopus Teacher. And it's about this guy in South Africa who swims out into the ocean every day and kind of befriends this octopus and ultimately tames it. And James is saying here, it would be easier to tame a tiger or to tame an octopus than it would be to tame your tongue. It's a daily discipline. And in My Octopus Teacher, he was swimming out into the freezing cold ocean every single day in order to tame this octopus. He didn't miss one, no matter how rainy it was, no matter how cold he was, no matter how sleepy he was, he turned up. And so for me, this whole process of taming my tongue has been a daily decision and a daily battle. And that doesn't mean that I haven't been tempted. I think it's really hard, like was prayed out in the prayer meeting, it's really hard to break patterns of behavior that we've fallen into and that have become really ingrained. So a big part of it was me trying to make practical decisions to not put myself in certain situations, to not end up in certain pockets of the staff room, to not go to the pub maybe on a Friday afternoon if I knew that I was going to be really tempted to engage in something. But it was also a heart thing. So in Luke, it says, "From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so I realized that in order to really, truly, fundamentally change my behavior, I was going to have to change my heart first. And so that meant taking time to look for the good things, to think about, well, how could I encourage somebody today? How can I swap out this conversation that I was going to have for one that's more beneficial? And I found that had a really big impact, because instead of wasting valuable time with people who are created in the image of God, picking through filthy laundry together, I had time to say, how are you going? How's your new puppy that you got during COVID? How are things with you? How are the kids? And I was able to form better relationships with people because I wasn't wasting time digging through all this filth. I had an incident earlier in the year where one of my colleagues who's a fair bit older than me, more experienced than me, came into my classroom at lunchtime and shut the door behind her and just said, hey, can I talk to you about some stuff that I'm really struggling with? And I was able to be there for her, to comfort her, to listen to her, to sort of talk things through, to build her up where I could. And then when she left, she said, thanks so much. I know that you won't tell anybody about this. And I realized that actually by getting a hold of this in my own life, I was then able to have opportunities that I know I wouldn't have had this time last year if I hadn't got myself in check. I'm actually now able to be the salt and light in my workplace more than I was when I was just letting my tongue run my life instead of controlling my tongue. It's also, I've definitely noticed the impact that it's had on me internally. Because when you spend every day trying to think about good things that you can say, edifying things that you can say, you are far less likely to nitpick or to complain or to look for fault in other people because you're practicing showing the love of God. And that's what happened for me.